Hey everybody, welcome to T-Bird Talk.
Join us as we explore the world of Circle Public Schools, sharing inspiring stories, delving into the inner workings of our district, exploring innovative education, and celebrating the achievements of our students and educators.
Whether you're a student, parent, educator, or just passionate about education, T-Bird Talk is your go-to source for community conversations and behind-the-scenes insights. Get ready for a journey into the heart of public schools, where excellence meets innovation. I'm Superintendent Don Potter.
And I'm Sarah Potter, Director of Community Relations and Development. Today, we're here with Circle Oil Hill Elementary Principal Sarah Coons to learn about professional learning communities.
Mrs. Coons, we're happy to have you here today to talk to us about professional learning communities. So let's jump right into that. What, in your own words, is PLC?
PLC is a professional learning community. We see our entire school district as the professional learning community. And simply, it's that we all are working together on one team to support learning. We collaborate, we discuss our students' needs, we have very focused conversations around learning with the ultimate goal of ensuring that all students are successful.
Awesome. When did Circle, when you came in Circle, it started professional learning communities, so probably 7-8 years ago, right? And you kind of came into the middle of that. What is that, how has your professional journey into that maybe changed your insights about education and how it's done, and how has the journey went so far for you while here at Circle?
Yeah, when I started this campus, as well as the school district, we're already doing incredible things with PLC. I came in at a great time where we continue to work for improvement and to take that process and continue to grow it. So when I came in, teacher teams were already meeting and they were discussing students and discussing essential learnings, which means looking at state standards, breaking those down into what's most important across each quarter, and then looking at the entire school year. So we continue to work on those things and develop and grow in those areas. And we also have our upper grade levels at the elementary level working on standards-based grading and making that transition. That's been a big part of, since I've come here, of the things that we're working on with our fourth, fifth, and sixth grade teams. And I feel like it's just such a commitment across the school district at all grade levels that we continue to grow in this process. We value it. It's very intentional that we are going to continue collaborating, and this is a great way to focus those efforts.
So when does the PLC process happen for our teachers and our staff? When does it take place?
So I'd say it's always taking place, but on Wednesday mornings is the time that's set aside for our teacher teams to meet. And so our district teams, which means for elementary, our grade levels, so all third grade teachers get to meet, fourth grade teachers get to meet, and some grade levels that are departmentalized, it may just be fourth grade, all of fourth grade math meets, or all of fourth grade ELA meets. And those meetings happen on Wednesday mornings. When parents see that late start on the schedule, that's what that means. Our teachers are in meetings. But also during our professional development days, we offer our teachers time to meet with their teams, and they really value that time as well to work through the PLC process.
And the PLC process is developed on four critical questions. One, what do we want them to know and be able to do? Two, how are we gonna know that they know it? And three, what are we gonna do about it if they don't? And four being, if they already know it, what are we going to do? Which one do you believe, just personally, is your favorite out of those four critical questions?
I like question number one. And I do think that that's an important process, those four questions that our teams are always cycling through. Part of the mission of this school district is to ensure that we're providing learning for all students, meeting them at their ability level. So for students who are struggling academically, being able to meet them at their level, for students who are ready for more of a challenge, and we need to meet them where they're at as well. So those questions help our teams be able to meet the needs of every single student in the school district.
Absolutely, and I think That's my favorite too, because that's where you have to start the whole process of learning, right? What do we want them to know? And the essential learnings that you talked about was primarily what is picked out to say, we're going to guarantee those kids learn that material. And I think that's really exciting, and then be able to take those next steps of how are we going to know it, and then what are we going to do about it either way if they already knew it or not. So I think that's a cool thing. What growth do you think has the biggest growth area you've seen due to PLC in your building?
I see growth in both staff and students. So with our staff, they when they get to work with that team, they are learning how to look at that data and break it down and make decisions with that. And so part of the PLC process is professional development for our teachers. And so I see growth within their teams as well. And for students, I see teachers who have the information they need. They have the collaboration they need with their teams to make better decisions. And that does directly impact our students because they have a team of teachers working together to make the best decisions for them. And that trickles down to the instructional level in our classrooms. And so what happens is they adjust the learning based on the data, and then they come back and they look at the next set of data and they see what's going on with student learning, and then they make a new decisions based on that. And it's just a continuous cycle that's always moving, always changing, and with the ultimate goal of we're making the best decisions for students and for our instruction.
You know, earlier you talked about in the PLC process that teachers were getting together, setting essential learnings, you know, what do we guarantee that students will learn? And that seems kind of like there's an end to that process, right? But now you described there's not an end to the PLC process. Is that kind of, you are always working for the students that you have?
Right. Yeah, Mr. Potter talked about those four questions, and those are meant to, once you go work through those four questions, teams start over again and they go back to number one. And so it is a very fluid process. There is really no end. We're constantly looking at data. Data changes. You know, we at the elementary level, we do FastBridge 3 times a year. We use that data. We use data from common assessments in the classroom setting. Teams use those to make decisions. We use interim state testing information to make decisions. So we have a lot of resources to be able to look at data, make decisions, and that is a very fluid process for us.
And quickly impact your children's learning.
Yes, correct.
And not wait a year or, you know, however long to make that impact.
Right.
So you mentioned common assessments.
Yep.
Common assessments are a huge part of the process. Tell us about what common assessments are and then how teachers use that information to improve their instruction or to guide their instruction for that individual student.
Our common assessments are tied back to our essential learnings, and our teacher teams get the essential learnings by looking at the state standards. And so the common assessments are given in the classroom, and that's another set of data that our teachers and teacher teams use to make decisions on whether did the student understand the content? Are they showing mastery or are they not showing mastery? And then once we know that, what do we do next? And even for students who maybe are showing their way beyond mastery, what do we do next with those students as well? For the students who are below mastery, what do we do for them? So there's a lot of decision making that goes into using those common assessments as well.
For sure. So the essential learnings then are answering question number one, what do we want them to know? Two, how are we going to know we're using some of those common assessments? Those can be, you know, a regular classroom. It can be teacher observation. It can be a lot of different things. So then we're answering question number two with that, saying, how are we going to know whether they know it or not? And now, you know, we start to embark on, okay, what do we do next? What do we do if they don't know it? How do we guide that instruction? So it's really good, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. So what's next for PLCs in our district? Where do we go from here as we continue to, you talked about an ongoing cycle, but talk about where you think those next steps need for us to go and get better at as we continue to meet and move forward, not only with teacher meetings, but administrative meetings on, you know, how do we collaborate with our teachers and teachers collaborating with us? How do we get better?
Our administrators are very focused on continuing to improve the PLC process, and we have set some goals to continue to be more involved, more supportive of our PLC teams, so that we can support the continued growth of this process and support teachers in completing this process and in collaborating with their teams. What's next is we continue to set just a really high value in this process as a school district, and we want to set an example for other school districts of how this collaboration makes a positive and direct impact on learning. And we have a goal to apply for being a PLC model district. And so that's one of our next steps as an administrative team, is to pull together data on how is the PLC process impacting learning, and apply to be a PLC model district.
If you had a parent or a community member come up to you and say, why is the district investing this much time with an alternate schedule? We send teachers and admin to training. Why invest this much in PLCs? What would you tell them?
We're better when we work together. And this process is so valuable, not only to increase student learning and to improve student learning, but for our teachers. One of our goals, or one of the parts of our strategic plan, is recruiting and retaining. And I feel like when we bring in new teachers to our school district, whether that's a brand new teacher or an established teacher, this, you know, giving them the team, the district team that they're part of,
support,
the building level team that they're part of, the school level team that they're part of, that helps pull them in so quickly that they have multiple built-in support systems of team members that they can go to ask questions, to talk through standards, to talk through essential learnings, to talk through the sequence of how they're teaching in their classroom, when to teach certain things, what to do when students aren't learning. And so I think that that's so valuable as part of that process. That's something that we offer to our teachers so that we can retain high quality teachers and provide them an excellent support system.
Okay, thank you. We have a lot of people to thank, and personally I would like to thank everybody in our district for the work that we do every day with professional learning communities and all the other pieces that go into it, you know, from just everybody across the district. Everybody plays a critical role in that, so I'm very thankful. So who do you have to thank here in your building? Talk about that.
I'm so grateful for our entire school community here at Oil Hill Elementary and across Circle School District. I think when we think of the stakeholders that help us be our best, it starts with our Board of Education and trickles down from there. And at our campus level, I value everyone, you know, who works here, and I hope they feel valued and supported. And I'm so thankful for our certified staff, for our teachers, librarian, title teacher, counselor, our classified staff, our office staff, nursing, secretarial, kitchen staff, custodial, our classroom aides, our title aides, our paraprofessionals, special education. It takes all of us working together as a team to continue growing, to continue supporting kids, and to help everyone thrive in 375.
That's awesome. And on behalf of the district, we appreciate you and what the work that you put in, and that doesn't go unnoticed of all the times and all the extras that you do. And on behalf of the students and Board of Education, our staff, all of those people you mentioned, I know you're supporting them very good. And obviously, we appreciate you joining us today. And it's been a pleasure. So thank you.
Thank you.
To stay up to date on what's going on with Circle Public Schools, make sure to follow us on Facebook at CircleUSD375 and visit our website at usd375.org. If you're a parent or guardian, make sure to continue to check out information sent to you through Parent Square.
Do you have a question for us or a suggestion for an episode? Email us at media@usd375.org. We would love to hear from you.
Thank you again for joining us for T-Bird Talk. And as always, driving 375. See you later.